Quickly and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Quickly Blast.
There are many things that force people to overreact. Spiders, snowflakes, a police car in the rearview mirror, a hair in your food, a text message that begins with, "Can I ask you something?" But very few things draw more oversized reactions than a lopsided loss in Game 1 of a playoff series. So keep that in mind if you're looking for silver linings on Planet Orange, a search that has seemingly gone on for months. Remember, this is a team that's specializes in alarming losses and bounce-back performances. What worries me, though, is the physicality of playoff basketball. After Game 1, Kevin Durant said the refs are letting both teams play, and that's the kind of basketball we want to play. But do they, really? Because the Suns' physical engagement lasted about one quarter on Saturday, and because the Suns, by nature, are a finesse team. Their superstars are capable of dealing with this dynamic on offense, but they do not seem inclined to dish it out on the other end of the floor, and it took all of one game for Kendrick Perkins to essentially call the Suns crybabies for the way they reacted to the officials. Now, ultra-physical play can act like a power wash on a broken foundation. It can make the cracks worse, it can expose a team that isn't truly connected to a stated mission, and once again, the Suns are facing a litmus test and entering Game 2. Namely, who are they? And where are they going? All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at ChapmanBMW.com.
Yeah, I do. And I think sometimes we might have fouled too much there at bad times, trying to be physical. But, you know, we'll figure it out. The rest of letting us play. And, it's the type of game we want.
That was Kevin Durant's quote after Saturday's 25-point loss by the Suns to the Timberwolves. That's the kind of game they want. I think you're asking a very valid question.
Yeah.
Is that exactly what they want?
Is that really, really, really what they want? Now, you can make an argument, and I think smart basketball people have looked at some of the advanced numbers of this game and said, okay, look, the Suns, if they had a process in Game 1, it was working in the first quarter, then you had all those... What do they call them? Smoked layups, Vinny? Is that the term?
Smokes the layups.
Smoked layups.
Blows the bunny.
Exactly. And blown bunnies and smoke layups. And that created a level of panic. Got them out of their process a little bit, and then things kind of got sideways from there. That's one way to look at it. You can look at it, as you pointed out, because I do agree with this. The Timberwolves probably played about their best game, and the Suns certainly did not.
Mm-hmm.
So if you balance that out, the score is going to be much, much closer. Question is, what kind of adjustments do you make? Do you make them? Do you make significant ones? Or do you just really hope on your guys like Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Eric Gordon to be better offensively?
That's the first adjustment.
Play better. Yeah.
Do your job.
Kevin Durant was very good offensively, was kind of the beacon when things got real rough. He was the beacon offensively. He was the guy to go to for a bucket. I think Bradley Beal was efficient but wasn't aggressive enough. And Kellen Olsen is right on the money.
Usually
it
is.
It doesn't matter what kind of defensive strategy teams are using on Devin Booker. He's seen all this stuff for 8-9 years. He's just got to be better.
Yeah.
Now, the length of Jaden McDaniels is an issue. Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo talked about not only the length, but the physical nature McDaniels dealt with Booker on Saturday.
I don't know if I want to take away too much from Booker not being that good. He's 5-for-16. I didn't think he looked good, but he also had McDaniels on him, and he's going to have to deal with that.
I love that you brought up the McDaniels point, because you're watching it happen, and I'd have to go back and like look at synergy or something to be like, are they getting Booker enough screens to just get McDaniels off him? The problem with McDaniels, when you're the primary ball handler, and that's what Phoenix is going to do here, is he's just on you. Like, he takes such pride. And I thought they were so physical with Booker. And it's like, okay, well, you guys, like, we're going to get away with this. All right.
Yeah.
I'm reaching, I'm grabbing, and good for McDaniels. And, you know, he can get into foul trouble because he can be so aggressive, but I'd rather you be aggressive and flirt with foul trouble, especially when I'm not worried about relying on any of your scoring.
Yeah, so the McDaniels part, it's something that Booker is going to have to deal with. He talked, Book did on Saturday, about finding his rhythm.
Oh, it's a foul kid, yeah. You know, this, you know, we all just need to adjust to, you know, the playoff physicality. Yeah. They being ultra physical with me, and then I had three early fouls to the bench. So, you know, just trying to find a reading from there.
Yeah, and I think Book was out of his, you know, respectfully speaking, I think he was out of his flow by the time he got his third foul.
I think you're right. I agree with that.
He sat on the bench for the last 2.5 minutes of that second quarter and came back and wasn't really in a flow in the third quarter either. And the Suns lost that game. You can look at it and say they got killed on the boards. They lost by 25. That game came down to a 7-minute stretch in the third quarter.
It did.
Because I thought the Suns missed opportunities to build a healthy lead with all the blown layups and, you know, their inactivity around the hoop early. When the Timberwolves found their footing, the Suns started to foul. Minnesota did a fantastic job at the free throw line. They only missed 2 free throws all day.
Mm.
You know, 20 of 22. And then, you know, it was a 4-point game midway through the third quarter, basically, and the Suns just stopped scoring.
Yeah. And what was different about game one, clearly, when if people are like, well, why wasn't Bradley Beal any better? The Timberwolves realized that Mike Conley cannot hang with Bradley Beal.
Uh-huh.
And so that defensive matchup that was so eviscerating for the Timberwolves in that final regular season game loss, they got away from that. I'm curious if the Suns do find, you brought this up earlier, I'm curious if they do find a chunk of time during these games to throw Josh Okogie on Anthony Edwards and just go rough him up. Get in his chest. And if you pick up 3 fouls in 8 minutes, cool.
Yeah, they were teammates for a year, so
yeah.
Josh has got some probably knowledge and practice and on how to deal with him a little bit.
Right.
Played against him for 3 seasons now with the Suns. One aspect of this game we haven't talked about is Anthony Edwards' mouth.
Oh.
It never, ever stops moving.
Oh, we can't repeat what he said, though, Vinny.
No, we can't. But he said this, you know, he was getting over on Kevin Durant and said this about trash-talking KD.
The little back and forth with Kevin Durant there in the third quarter. How fun is that, and what do you make of the atmosphere tonight?
I think everybody here knows that's my favorite player of all time, so that was probably one of the best feelings ever in my whole life, for sure.
To take your favorite player and just insult him to his face. What a great
feeling. His core.
Here was more Edwards on Kevin Durant.
Anthony, when you're out there with Kevin Durant, can you see or hear the playoff experience that he has? Do you sense a level of poise that you hope to get to?
Yeah, man. Did you see him in the third quarter? Like, I felt like we were supposed to be up 15-18 in the third quarter early. If I'm not mistaken, he made 4 or 5 straight buckets like it was nothing. And I became a fan at one point. Like, I was out there like, God. He nice. Like, it's nothing we can do. It's like, it's nothing we can do. Cat was playing great defense. Rudy was playing great defense. And it's just like, he don't see you. Like, I'm looking at his stat sheet. He was 11 for 17. He missed 6 shots and had 31. He's just, I mean, he's the greatest to ever do it, man. He's big, big. My hat tilts to him. He's the best.
So he gets into Durant. Durant just smiles in response. You know, Durant's not going to give much of a reaction either on the court physically or verbally.
No.
And said this afterwards.
Yeah, it's just basketball. Not even play. It's just hoop, you know. You get hot, you make shots, make tough shots. You know, you're going to feel excited about yourself. So it's on me to keep coming back and showing them a tough look, or whoever's defending these guys, to show them a tough look. If they make shots over us, we move back to the next play, you know, and we move on to the next play, you know. So, you know, he got it going. He made some tough ones. You just got to live with it and be better next game.
Yeah, and part of me respects that response from Kevin Durant. It just wasn't the Suns' day.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me wants him to file that away. Remember that. Like, it's, you know, he says he's in awe of me, but he's a punk. And he's going to get his. I hope that happens to a degree.
Because
He never stops talking.
Yeah, but he's not a punk.
Oh, he's a punk.
Okay. Okay.
Quick show of hands on the show. Punk?
Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
The way he trash-talked Bo Cruz in that one movie.
You can't trash talk Bo Cruz like that.
He's a saint.
It wasn't. He was not playing a part there. He was just being himself.
He was just playing himself. Yeah, exactly.
Arizona sports, all in for the Suns in the playoffs.
Ooh, there's the sounder. Suns fans, this is your chance to pick up our code word of the day, and we're making it challenging on day one. Your code word is Murata.
Uh-oh.
M-A-R. OTTA. That's the correct spelling.
That's two R's? No.
Shut up, Jared. That's what you text right now to 620-620. And enter your info. You could be heading to a Suns home playoff game again. Text Marotta, M-A-R-O-T-T-A, to 620-620. Tune into Wolf and Luke today during the noon hour for your next Suns code word. Good luck on spelling that. I've seen it spelled a billion different ways.
Again, text Marotta 620-620. Do not call in right now.
You don't need to call. I didn't give a phone number.
I know.
Yeah. Listening. It's an underrated skill. Coming up next, D-backs, they get a split in San Francisco, but man, that injury report is getting way too long for anybody's liking. That and more straight ahead. Bickley and Marotta mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Gambo. The series by the Bay is in the books, and now the D-backs visit Goldie and the rest of the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll react to the weekend and get you ready for the first game on today's Burns and Gambo show, starting at straight up 2 o'clock.
He's an unbelievable competitor. There's a certain level of quirkiness that we all know when we're talking to Slade, but he knows how to go out there and execute, and he can slow down when he needs to, and I'm sure there was a ton of nervous energy walking into this clubhouse wondering if he was going to be starting, or what the scenario was, but he slowed it down, and I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of this team. Like, they did a lot today to win a baseball game.
Torey Lovello, manager of the Diamondbacks, talking about his starting pitcher on Sunday, Slade Ciccone. Mm-hmm. It was not supposed to be Slade Ciccone. He got the late call after Merrill Kelly was scratched, and Ciccone was fantastic and deserves the kudos from Torey Lovello. 64 pitches in 6 innings. You don't see a lot of like grizzled veterans get through that easily. And what he did was needed. But now you have to go on the flip side of that coin, and the concern turns to Merrill Kelly.
Yeah.
A guy who flirted with some injuries last year. There was the frustration with the cramping going on at Chase Field. He hasn't dealt with that at all last year. Felt like he had that in the rear view. Now we're talking about shoulder discomfort was how it was termed.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically just have to hope for the best, because Merrill Kelly being out for any amount of time would really cripple this team's chances.
There's no doubt about it. So I've got a lot of mixed feelings about all of this. Friday night's game, when the Diamondbacks, it was a big deal because it was Jordan Montgomery's debut for the team, and you're hoping it goes well, and they just blew up Blake Snell. Yeah. And I thought, okay, this is the second time this young season, opening day being the other, that this offense has gone nuclear. And I was really hoping that would be a big turning point for this team. They ended up losing game 3 of the series, and then they rolled into the clubhouse on Sunday morning. And as I said earlier, the reporting out of San Francisco paints a very vivid picture that they all saw that Slade Ciccone had a nameplate and a locker in San Francisco. And the feeling among some of the fringe players on the roster was, which one of us is about to be told we're getting out of here? And then they all find out, no, Merrill Kelly is scratched and he's got a shoulder issue. Now, that kind of news after a year that has included so many injuries already to so many key players of this baseball team could have really demolished the psychology and the psyche and the spirits of the team, and it didn't. Props to Slade Ciccone for going out and being very, very sharp. Props to Gabby Marino for being an impact player behind the plate and at the plate. Mm-hmm. Props to the Gink for getting the last out of the game.
Gink?
That middle part, that thing you do with your lips, I don't know how you do that. That
I'm a talent.
No, you have a talent. Wow. We sure use that term loosely these days, don't we? It's like that great commercial where the rock stars are saying, stop using the term rock stars in other industries. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that person's a rock star in accounting. Right? And Billy Idol's like, no, you're not, mate. Okay, so when you look at that, I give the team a ton of credit in the short term for splitting that series. But this Merrill Kelly injury has got me a little bit on edge, because this is, you can't lose this guy. And not even for 2 weeks, not 3 weeks. And let's just really hope this is, oh, you know, I woke up on the wrong, I've slept on my right side too much and my shoulders kind of, you know, messed up. Let's hope that's all this is. And as I said earlier, the fear I have with Merrill Kelly is he's the big spin rate guy. He's the guy that really spins it. And as we've learned this year, there's a correlation between, or at least an apparent correlation between high spin rate and arm issues. And why wouldn't there be?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the trend, you know, with this reliance or fascination with spin rate on certain pitches. You know, and people will point, well, look at the velocity now. You got all these guys throwing over 100+. True, but even if the velocity wasn't what it was back in the day, it's not like pitchers weren't throwing as hard as they could, you know? So I don't think anybody knows the exact answer,
right?
But it is something to be concerned
right.
about. Speaking of concerns, last week when we talked about the D-backs, Corbin Carroll was on the list of concerns. Getting him going, did anything happen over the weekend to quell any concerns you may have about Corbin Carroll? He had 3 hits in the series. He went 0-for-7 over the last 2 games. Now, he was 0-for yesterday, but had the hardest hit ball of the game, even though, you know, from exit velocity. I'm still looking at his splits against right-handed pitching, Bick, and they are not pretty.
No.
His OPS against right-handed pitching is .522. Last year, for a full season, Corbin Carroll's OPS against right-handed pitching was .921. Yeah. That's a 400-point difference right now.
I don't know, because Corbin Carroll's a very serious player.
Yes.
And a very studious player, so I don't know if he's in his own head. I don't know if he's trying too hard. I don't know if he's not working counts and waiting for better pitches. Generally players who get impatient at the dish, generally there's a serious lack of confidence. It's a psychology of baseball.
Yeah.
You don't want to go deep into account because you do not want to trudge back to the dugout after striking out again. So you look to get something in play early just to kind of take that off the table. Here's one of the things that I have found amazing over my life watching baseball is that players generally end up where they're supposed to be by the end of the year, regardless of what their season looks like.
Uh-huh.
So it means that players who go through really profound slumps have really profound hot streaks as well. I don't know how that works out. I really don't.
It's a long season is how it works
out.
I guess. But we don't really know how it usually works out with Corbin Carroll because he only has 1 year on the books.
Yes.
Right now he has 3 extra base hits for the entire season. He's slugging .273.
Yeah, which over the weekend, Nick Pecoro on AZ Central had a piece about Carroll's struggles and whether or not it was time to maybe move him down in the lineup. Torrey Lovello said he's considering everything for sure. Don't know what I'll do, but I'll begin with conversations with everybody around me and figure out the best thing moving forward. You know, he mentions the slash line .224, .327, .282. And Lovello said, we're all seeing the same thing. The body language isn't great. This is a hard game. He's being challenged right now. He's going to figure it out. He's an easy bet to figure it out. But when does it happen?
Yeah, especially when you've got some good outfielders on the team. I mean, I don't know. Certainly, I'm not advocating benching him, but again, at some point in time, he has got to be a catalyst for this team.
Yeah, he was just too important.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, everything else that they're missing now. I mean, missing Perdomo. We don't have an update on Blaze Alexander. I mean, I don't ever remember a player. You ever remember a player leaving a game with a cramp? Is that just the overabundance of caution now?
I mean, it happens.
Aside from Merrill Kelly.
I mean,
yeah. No, I know what you're. I'm being facetious. No, you're right.
That's a good example. The Merrill Kelly happened 3 times last year.
That one I put in a different category.
Yeah, that wasn't just a cramp. That was like specific to the blood clot fear, wasn't it?
Well,
yeah.
and also pitchers are in perpetual motion. Defenders are not. Defenders spend a lot of time standing around. So,
and Alexander's been a godsend offensively. He's picked up offensively where Corbin Carroll's left off last year.
That's such a great call. That's exactly what he's done. Yeah, so I don't know. Look, this team's 11-12 now, and even though I thought it was kind of convenient for the team to hope to get out of the opening month of the season .500, now it's a very real hope. It's just they've just got to sustain. And just hope that it takes a while for the Dodgers to find their groove.
Yeah, and they got the Cardinals today. Lance Lynn on the mound. It's a great time for the offense to get healthy because he gives up a home run to everybody he faces.
Indeed.
4:45 first pitch. You can hear it on Arizona Sports 98.7. Coming up next, we will talk Suns basketball for the first time all season
with the legend.
Al McCoy joins us straight ahead to talk playoffs. Spickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Suzanne!
Now, about the Suns. Hall of Famer Suns broadcaster Al McCoy calls in to talk Suns with Bickley and Murata.
Suns win! The Suns win!
Now, about the Suns.
Oh, brother!
Driven by Sanders and Ford and their mighty fine 69 sale.
Oh, it is our pleasure to welcome back to the show to talk some playoff basketball with us. Suns playoff basketball, the legend, the Hall of Famer, Al McCoy, who checks in here on Bickley and Murata mornings. Al, good morning.
Hey, it's great, guys. Great to be talking basketball with you again. And let me first of all say I'm not concerned right now. It's the playoffs, and anything can happen at any time. Now, I do have to preface my comments by saying that the last time the Suns played the opening playoff game, I think there were only two people ready to go. Mm-hmm. I was one, Kevin Durant was the other, and I think that was it. Those other guys in uniform somewhere were off in the hinterlands.
Yes.
But, you know, I went into this with a lot of confidence for the Suns because they had played so well in the last 10 days to 2 weeks of the season, the way they had manhandled Minnesota, and particularly in the last game of the regular season, I thought they really were on top of their game. It didn't turn out that way. But I want to preface my comments by saying, what a game for Kevin Durant. Wow, did he come out ready for the playoffs? And it's just amazing, even though he got 31 points and did everything to try and keep the Suns in it, he just didn't get any help from his friends.
Yeah, that's true.
But what a performance he had. He was unbelievable.
All right, before we go any further, two things. Number one, I wanted to say, with all due respect to the current crop of broadcasters, how much we all miss you on the broadcast this year. And number two, maybe it's better because this team might have driven you crazy, Al.
Well, I think you have something there. But the surprise to me was that we fell back in that opening game to the problems that they had off and on during the season. By that, I mean no defense, giving up second and third chance opportunities, not being able to stop the three-point shots, and the offensive rebound again was just horrible. But the biggest thing for the Suns was, after the great start for KD, nobody else could score. Yeah. I mean, they were getting shots. They were getting layups. They were blowing them. They couldn't make their free throws. It just wasn't their ball game. Now, do I think they're going to respond in game two tomorrow? I definitely do, but it's a playoff series. We know that.
Yeah, Al McCoy, the unmistakable voice of Al McCoy joining us here on Bickley and Murata mornings. You mentioned it in your opening there, Al, about Devin Booker and everybody else struggling offensively. Let's focus on Book. It was not his best game. Obviously, the defensive strategies changed for Minnesota on him. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on maybe the second half of the season, what you saw from Devin Booker. He's a guy who's been targeted for being under a lot of pressure to step up and elevate in the playoffs. I think he took a step back for the first time in his career this year. How much pressure do you think is on Book to turn this around?
Well, there's a lot of pressure on him, but let's start right off, gentlemen, by saying the Suns don't have a point guard. Now, I can argue that with a lot of people. The Suns front office and their coaches have said they don't need one. I don't agree with that. Now, Bradley Beal is the closest they have. He has some attributes as a point guard, but they do not have a true point guard. And that meant that during the major part of this season, because Beal was out with so many injuries, that Book had to bring the ball up out of backcourt. And to me, that just took away from his game. He's not the one that should be bringing the ball up out of backcourt. And this brings me now to another point going into tomorrow night's game. is the Suns have to control the pace. And how do you do that? Well, you've got a point guard or someone like that that can push the ball, get the ball up into your offense quickly, and do that before a very good defensive team like Minnesota can get set. Now, back to your question, is there pressure on Book? Sure there is. But I think that he has not been able to do a lot of things when he's had the responsibility of bringing the ball up out of backcourt on every possession. That's got to be Beal doing that, and that's got to mean open shots and some open screens in this game number two for Booker, definitely. They need his scoring.
I agree with you 100% about the importance of a point guard. I think that was, if things don't go well, I think that's going to be the number one mistake in logic in how they built this team. All right, so we also know, and you know this from all your years covering the league, the game gets physical in the playoffs. The refs swallow their whistles, and teams have to adjust. Some of the recent Sun teams have had struggles with that adjustment. How important is it that they either match physicality or embrace physicality, given the way the refs are just going to let these games roll?
Hey, can I say two words to the Suns players this morning?
Yes.
Stop crying.
Thank you.
This is the playoffs. This is for the big boys. When you think you're fouled, get out there and be aggressive. Let's see some of that aggressiveness. Just stop crying on every call. You're not going to get calls. We know that whole scenario. We're not going to talk about the officiating. Just play as physical as has to be played and stop crying.
Amen.
In terms of, we know at this point, Al, that the playoffs are about adjustments. You see these teams four times, five, maybe six or seven times, adjustments game to game. I think there's a couple of adjustments, and Bick and I were talking about it earlier. The first adjustment is best players have to play better, first of all. But is there anything that stands out to you from your keen eye about the adjustments that you'd like to see Frank Vogel make from a tactical standpoint going into game two?
Well, I think you have to realize that these are the playoffs. You have to play your stars. Don't get concerned about resting people. And I know any time that I see KD and Book on the bench at the same time, I'm concerned because I think one of them has to be on the floor all the time. Rest is something they can sleep all summer. But now's the time to play basketball, and you've got to use your stars. Now, we haven't really talked about the offensive rebounding.
No.
That has to change. You've got to block out, and you've got to do a better job, and you can't give up second and third chance scoring opportunities. I think our longtime friend Charles Barkley has said it so many times. I've repeated it so many times, and it's so true. To get the rebound, it doesn't have to be the tallest guy, the biggest guy, the broadest guy. It has to be the guy that wants the basketball, and that's who gets it. And, of course, Charles, as you know, about 6'4", 6'4 and a half, was one of the best rebounders in the NBA. So the Suns definitely have to stop that second and third scoring opportunity for Minnesota. They just have to be more physical. It's the playoffs. You have to match that physicality, and you do that by rebounding, and as I said, controlling the pace of the basketball. Again, I want to mention that again. Don't walk the ball up out of backcourt. That gives Minnesota's defense, and it's a good one, the opportunity to get set defensively and stop you from getting good shots. Control the pace of the game, push the ball, and be aggressive.
You are dropping a lot of great knowledge as usual. Great to hear your voice again, Al. How has retirement been for you? Have you enjoyed any of it?
Well, let me just say, getting old is not for sissies.
I love that.
And Al, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. We hope we're talking. This is a weekly segment as long as the Suns are in the playoffs. So we hope we're talking to you every Monday until June.
Well, I grade it, and this is going to be a big week for the Suns in the playoffs. No question about it.
All right, Al. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week. Al McCoy joining us every week during the Suns playoff run.
That last saying of his, I use that all the time. I love that. Getting old is not for sissies.
Yeah, about 20 years ago, I just would have chuckled at that, and now I'm like, man, Al McCoy is spitting knowledge.
Yes, he is. Yeah, told the Suns, stop crying, Jarrett. I mean, stop crying, Suns players. It's fantastic.
Coming up next, we will branch out from the Suns T-Wolves and look at the other seven series going on in the NBA playoffs. Some intrigue over the weekend. We'll touch on it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Time out.
Arizona Sports.
Ballin'.
Floor Burns with Bickley and Murata.
Why'd you dunk it? Why'd you break?
Murphy screams. McCollum jumped at by Wallace. 7 seconds. 40 feet away. Crossing over. Ball knocked away. McCollum goes back to get it. 3 seconds. Wide left. Pump fakes. Leans in for three. Angle left. No good. It's over. The Thunder win game one. 94-92. Celebrate, Oklahoma City. Celebrate.
That was a final call. The Thunder Radio Network, WWLS, as CJ McCollum nearly made a prayer. It didn't look smooth up to the point where he shot the ball, but
no.
It was kind of online. He missed it, and the Thunder win by two.
It's a good showing by the Pelicans, if you ask me.
It really was. I want to get something off my chest before I forget, before we get into the playoffs.
I
really miss the show Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Because it would be on right now, and it's on hiatus because they're doing some weird stuff and moving it across the country. If it was on right now, they wouldn't be replaying the Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, listen. In about 20 minutes ago, you were in the middle of talking about something, and the James Harrison play happened all over again, and I tackle him!
Haven't we seen this enough? Stop torturing us, NFL Network. Get Good Morning Football back on the air.
Yeah.
Anyway, good showing by the Pelicans, a team missing a star player. And maybe that's the Suns' adjustment for game two. They sacrifice one of their star players because it doesn't seem to be that much of a detriment right now.
They did that already in game one.
Pelicans played well and lost without Zion.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks won without Giannis.
Yep.
The Clippers won easily without Kawhi Leonard.
Well, yeah, and I was not ready for that.
Miami won on Friday night to clinch their spot into the playoffs without Jimmy Butler.
With their fans chanting, "We want Boston." Sure, yeah. You do. Yeah,
Boston was up 30 points in the first half. Did they still want them?
No, they didn't. Before we move on, what was that? What was that tweet you put out about Devin Booker missing yesterday's game? Come on, you don't know it off the top of your head, Jarrett?
Well,
really?
Genius like that, I want to make sure I get the wording exactly right. It was, what an awful game. What an awful Suns game. Thank God Devin Booker wasn't around to see it.
All right, so Kawhi Leonard, what happened to the people telling us, if this was a playoff game, Kawhi would be playing? Okay.
Maybe they knew they didn't need him. They could rest him another game.
All right, didn't expect that. Damian Lillard had the game that Vinny was like saying, "Okay, Dame, when are you going to be that dude? When are you going to
0 points in the second half, man?" It's a 48-minute game, Dame. Dame time apparently only lasts 24 minutes.
What do you have, 35, 33 in the first?
35 and zero in the second half.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
On the Kawhi Leonard thing, here was Ty Lue, the head coach of the Clippers, about winning in Leonard's absence.
When a guy goes out, everyone has to step up. It's not one man. It's not two men. Like, everyone has to step up and be good. And so I thought tonight was a step in the right direction as far as everyone stepping up in Kawhi's absence. And then we got a huge win.
Yeah, and that's something that they are strangers to, playing without Kawhi Leonard. Now, I will say, that game getting out of hand the way that it did, Dallas scored 8 points in the second quarter. It just shows you how different the play, 30 points in the first half, how different the playoffs are. We were asking the question out loud, how could a team with Durant, Booker, and Beal go 7 minutes without a basket, even if it's in a playoff game? How could a team with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic on the floor together score 8 points in 12 minutes of basketball?
Doesn't make any sense.
There's weird stuff going on, man.
It doesn't make any sense.
And
I agree with you.
I thought when the news of Kawhi came out, and it was almost expected, it is the playoffs, and he misses a ton of playoff games, that would swing into Dallas's favor. Dallas played really good basketball down the stretch. They did not look at all ready to play a playoff series. And people will point at the Suns and say, "Oh, they lost by 25." The first quarter was very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas came out and sleepwalking from the jump. That was very surprising to see.
I completely agree with you. Completely. There was a lot that I didn't expect this weekend. I didn't expect Cleveland to handle Orlando the way they did.
Orlando, watching Orlando shoot, attempt to shoot in that game was depressing.
Yeah, say that again.
And by the third quarter, they were just throwing the ball at the rim.
Neither of those teams is going anywhere, though. That's like NBA TV game. Every game is going to be at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays on NBA TV.
That series is the equivalent of the Houston Texans playoff game.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's exactly right.
Milwaukee winning big without Giannis and the performance they did get from Dame. And Tyrese Halliburton struggling offensively. They got caught into playing Milwaukee's game, and it didn't work out for them. The New York-Philadelphia game on Saturday was the second-best game of the weekend. In fact, I think of all the game ones, there was only two of them that were decent games.
Yeah.
And that game and the last game last night.
I really have a hard time reconciling what I feel when I watch this Knicks team play. I actually, for the first time in my entire life, am cheering for that team. I have never on any level cheered for the New York Knicks.
They have a lot of it. Jalen Brunson is a killer.
Oh,
Josh, they were talking about it on the broadcast. If there's a team on planet Earth that wouldn't want Josh Hart on that team, there's something wrong with you.
Yep.
That guy does LeBron? Whatever it takes to win a basketball game. And on the flip side of it, Embiid is playing through another injury. He doesn't look like he's healthy at all. Did you see the footage of him limping out of the arena after game one?
Yes, I did. And everybody reacted the same way, like, really?
It's another guy that's always hurt.
Yeah.
It does suck, though, because to me at least, it looks like that's the second and third best teams in the East.
Yeah.
And they're both playing each other in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, it looks like Boston is just so far now, way ahead. What'd you guys think of the Lakers sort of leading in the first half there, looking pretty good until Denver just said, enough of this.
I thought that was, if you're a Laker fan, that game would bother you because that was, I mean, LeBron and AD were really good and they still got handled.
Yeah.
And so the idea that the Nuggets are going to find a different gear, I think everything about that Nuggets team that makes them, the size and the athleticism of their front line and what the damage they can do, you really kind of forget that. And I'm sure that was not on full display in the regular season either. It's just really, really ridiculous how irrelevant the NBA regular season is, isn't it? I ran into somebody who was actually viscerally angry about this. Like, why do they waste our time with that garbage during the regular season? Because and everything you think never applies.
It really doesn't matter because the seeding doesn't really matter because every series is best of seven. So almost always in a best of seven, just the best team wins because you have to win four out of seven times. So it doesn't matter if you get the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seed really because you have these long series. It's not one and done like the NCAA tournament or something.
You know what they should do? They should just go like in rec league softball, when one season ends, the next season just starts the next week. Why can't they do that? Back to back, like 35 game seasons, play the playoffs, crown a champion, and then run it back.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody starts over.
So extend the in-season tournament is what you're saying. You can't get enough.
Hey, the Lakers, nobody's ever going to take that banner away from them.
Champs.
three game twos on tap for tonight. All those Saturday series that got started, except for Suns, Timberwolves, they all resume tonight. Coming up next, we'll dive into the 9 o'clock hour. Sarah Cazell will take us through some social studies here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.